Hare Krishna. As I've mentioned several times before, I've been listening to Srila Prabhupada's tapes from 1977, and which are very historic and very unique. Unique in the sense that they're different than other tapes or other types of lectures or conversations. They're much more informal. The subjects are much more informal, and of course the time period in which it's taking place, that year preceding Srila Prabhupada's departure, makes them very poignant. And at the same time, they also reflect certain historical events that are taking place. And one of them, which I've been listening to now, and this is taking place in July of 1977. And of course, the a lot of these conversations are with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, were him being present there. Anyway, this was a historical event which related to when Sridhar Mayapur was attacked by dacoits. So as we're hearing it on these recordings, Srila Prabhupada gets this news. Tamal Krishna Maharaj brings the news. Telephone call that transpired went from Mayapur to Mumbai, and then it was relayed from Mumbai to, the information was relayed from Mumbai to Vrindavan, because there's no direct telephone, there were no mobiles at that time. All of Mayapur only had one telephone as well. So the telephone call came that 300 dacoits attacked Mayapur Chandradoi Mandir, causing great damage. Some devotees were hurt, put in hospital, and the cause doesn't seem to be very clear. They say that some neighbor spray cow came onto our property, the devotees beat it, and then therefore the dacoits emerged out of the bush. Very sort of suspicious explanation, but that was what happened. And of course Srila Prabhupada is extremely concerned, and Prabhupada is very sick, not just with the sickness that is going to take his life, but Prabhupada also has an extremely bad cold. He's always coughing, but nonetheless, Prabhupada is really concerned about the whole event, and starts to analyze the situation and manage the developments and the handling of the whole scene, which is difficult to handle because it's difficult to know just exactly what happened. And Jai Pataka Maharaj wasn't there at the time, but Bhavananda at that time Maharaj was. And so the skimpy information is that some devotees were hospitalized, and that Bhavananda Maharaj had shot at some of the dacoits. Didn't kill them, but shot them, and that now he and some other devotees are in jail. So some devotees who are there in Vrindavan, Mayapur devotees, they rush to the scene, and Gopal Krishna Maharaj, who is in Mumbai, he also goes there to get a clearer picture. And so as the days go by, we're waiting to get a clear understanding of exactly what happened. And then more direct information starts to come in, that this was not some kind of spontaneous event, but rather it was something that seemed to have been planned. First of all, devotees don't beat cows, and second of all, even if there was a disagreement with a neighbor, but where do 300 dacoits armed with different types of weapons and sticks come out of the woodwork all of a sudden? How's that possible? This must have been a pre-arranged, and the suspicion is that it had something to do with the communist government. Srila Prabhupada points out that they're atheists. They don't like to see the propagation of religion, and so there's every chance that it was something that somehow or another was orchestrated in the background. Anyway, as more information comes, it seems that the police, who only came 2 hours later, very suspicious why it took 2 hours for the police to arrive. The police came 2 hours later. They told Bhavananda Maharaj that he should go file the case in the police station in Krishnagar. And when he arrives there, he's arrested for shooting someone. And although the gun was legally registered and everything, so he's arrested. And the headmaster, Hiranyagarbha, he's in the a hospital, very, very serious. Actually, he's not in the hospital. They wouldn't even allow devotees to get hospital treatment. His head was fractured, both his arms were broken. One of the ladies there was actually disrobed. Very, very shameful. And so Srila Prabhupada really tells the devotees to rally, since this is something that was most likely orchestrated by those who are against us locally, and the state government may not be so sympathetic. So better that we appeal where we have real supporters in the national government, in parliament, in the media. And so that's what starts to happen. And of course, more and more information keeps coming in. And Prabhupada at one point becomes very emotional and with concern over how much the devotees are sacrificing for him, sacrificing their lives just in order to fulfill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And eventually the tide turns. Probably most dramatic event is when it's narrated that Bhavananda Maharaj, when he was arrested, he was paraded to prison along the road, and all the in chains, and all the local people, they were offering their obeisances in respect to the sannyasi. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada asked devotees to rally the local Vaishnav Dhambasis as well as the Gaudiya Math for get them to support us. And they do do that, and eventually the tide turns, but not without many exciting aspects. In one of the newspaper reports on it, it stated how the police said that the founder, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, wasn't on site at that time. When Prabhupada heard that, he said, this means that the police were thinking that if he had been there, then they would have also taken Srila Prabhupada into custody. So Prabhupada said, this was a real, real great conspiracy, but ultimately Krishna protected and saved the devotees. In fact, even when it comes to parliament, some non-supporter of the society, politician proposes that Mayapur be closed down. It's causing so much trouble. And of course, that doesn't happen. But we do see the difficulties that devotees had to endure when devotees go now to Shidam Mayapur. Of course, for them, they just see a beautiful developing town, a city, and may not be aware of all the austerities and difficulty that it took by the devotees who built Shidam Mayapur. I think I mentioned that Jai Pataka Maharaj was out of station. He also came back. He had been preaching. He wasn't there. And also reminded me of New Brajadam and the austerities the original founders, devotees went through, who lived there, in order to make that place the wonderful place that it is right now. So without sacrifice, without austerity, without being willing to shoulder all kinds of difficulties on Krishna's behalf, how will anything happen? This is what Krishna consciousness is about, tapasya. But tapasya on behalf of the Lord and such sacrifices on behalf of the Lord certainly don't go unremembered and unrecognized by the Lord and by Srila Prabhupada. So that was history. That was history 37 years ago. Maybe a lot of the listeners hadn't even been born by that time. And it was a wonderful history. It's hope, or at least we'd wish that we could avoid such things like that. But Krishna does give such challenges to his devotees. And ultimately, as Srila Prabhupada said, right from the very beginning when this took place, that devotees will come out victorious, and the whole thing will just be a vehicle for Krishna consciousness to be all that better known, all that better respected, and the situation, although appearing to be at that time very serious, will actually turn to our advantage. So that's what I've been listening to, and it's been very, very informative. Of course, I knew about that. I knew about it. I was aware of it at the time when it was happening. We heard about it in the West as well. But it's very interesting to see how events unfold day by day, and how Srila Prabhupada reacts to these as the ultimate general of the Krishna consciousness movement, and the supporter, well-wisher, and inspiration of all of his devotees. Hare Krishna.